well, I'll model the behavior that you'll follow on with, right? So I'll model the behavior, and then you're just going to imitate later. You deserve another chance next time. I think one of the things that Tim is bringing out in this passage, or as that we can find in this passage that Tim has read, is that there's a determination in this passage to leave God out of the equation. You leave God out of the equation. It was obvious from creation in verse 20 that God was present. But they, and even though they knew him, verse 21, they did not give him his rightful place. They did not glorify him as God. So they left him out. They turned God's glory into something natural, verse 23. They exchanged the truth of God, verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. The New King James says, for the lie. Interesting emphasis. They were more interested in nature than in the one who made it. They worshiped the creature rather than the creator. They, verse 28, they did not like to keep God in their thoughts. They didn't want God to have his place. So the fact that ideas have consequence, if we leave God out in our assessment of what's going on, then we come up with lies. We come up with substitutionary philosophies. We come up with other things. And you notice that nowhere, none of those verses says they left God out and so they just had happy lives without God. No, they had to find something. We all will find something. It's part of the evidence for the God of the Bible that the Bible says we all are looking for something. And in fact, we are. When we give up the truth of God, we're ready to believe a lie. When we stop worshiping God, we'll find something natural to worship. So the fact that Origen, and just by the way, knowing, as a matter of understanding, knowing that God is our origin, that we come from God, we have him as our God and he's the creator, does not necessarily translate into a practical worldview unless we give him his proper place. That is to say, we can know that God is the creator, but we leave him out of the equation. And in a functional way, a practical way, we function as if there was no God in our lives because we say there is, but we leave him out of our decision making. So ideas have consequence. And what do we really believe about our origin? Maybe there's some other thoughts that come from this passage or others.
Just one quick thought. This is where we are today. When you read this list, I think we can all see very clearly that this is very pertinent to the world in which we live right now. I think that's all I for that.
If you look at, and I don't know if you watch the news or read the newspaper, but if you read about some of the issues that are developing, whether it's in the Middle East, in which there is this deeply intransigent hatred of people groups, whether it's in the continent of Africa, in different parts of those countries, there is this tremendous animus between groups of people in the United States, in our country. The news has been filled with recent days of conflict between people groups. Do you realize that that is a consequence of bad ideas? The fact of the matter is, if I don't understand that God is the creator of all, Acts chapter 17. He tells us very clearly that he has made of one blood all men. You see, if I don't take that biblical perspective, that biblical worldview about origins, about what makes people different, it's by design, then I substitute it, and then they get into the whole the conflicts that arise between people groups. Acts 17:26. He is made of one blood, all nations. You see, when you don't have a biblical worldview, now you might, like Steve said, you might have this idea about, you know, origin, God is the creator of all things, but we have to take it and push it down to every idea that follows logically from it. And so if I'm going to really have an answer to a world that's struggling with violence and conflict between people groups, I need to understand that every person is valuable in the eyes of the Creator God because He made them all. We got to move on quickly because time is really flying. We talk about purpose. Well, origin, God is the Creator. Christ is the means by which He creates. God has created all things. Well, when it comes to purpose, what is the reason? Why would God do this? Why would He make you and why would He make me? And it's a very simple answer. We're going to turn to a couple of scriptures. Colossians 1:16. Somebody quickly get that. Colossians 1:16. Someone who can get Revelation 4, verse 11.
Just for sake of time, Colossians 1:16, for by Him all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him.
Okay. Someone, Revelation 4:11.
Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created.
Someone could read also Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. All right, I'll read it. Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. There's a couple other verses we can touch on, but I just want to nail it, you know, in the simplest form. God in His design and His purpose, He says, all of this is for the pleasure of His Son. And He is going to set His Son up over all things. That's the ultimate purpose, is that the glory of God might be displayed through and by the Lord Jesus. All things are going to be made subject to Him. It's for His pleasure. So what does that mean in terms of purpose? Why am I living? In Isaiah, there's a verse that says, I have created him, speaking about man, for my glory. Mm-hmm. Is that the whole intent of your living, the whole intent of my living, the worldview that we want to develop, the biblical worldview, is that my living isn't to please me. Mm-hmm. My living isn't to have a good time. My living isn't to amass a lot of stuff. My living is that I might glorify the Lord Jesus. All things were made by Him and they're for Him. They're for His pleasure. And my life can be that which is for the pleasure of the Lord Jesus. Anything other than that will produce a skewed view. Mm-hmm. I have to see that and that develop that in my worldview development. Why am I here? I'm here for the glory of God. Why am I here? All things were made for Christ. How can out of my life bring something for the pleasure of the Lord Jesus?